It's time for Twig, the latest news from Google. Jeff and Gina and I will discuss the latest, including breaking news. A big deal for Facebook, $16 billion to buy WhatsApp. What's that all about? We'll talk about it next on Twig.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for This Week in Google is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com.
It's time for Twig, This Week in Google, episode 237, recorded February 19th, 2014. Let go, let Google. This Week in Google is brought to you by Personal Capital. With Personal Capital, you'll finally have all your financial life in one place and get a clear view of everything you own. Best of all, it's free. To sign up, go to personalcapital.com/twig. And by Shutterstock.com. With over 28 million high-quality stock photos, illustrations, vectors, and video clips, Shutterstock helps you take your creative projects to the next level. For 25% off your new account, go to Shutterstock.com and use the offer code TWIG214. And by LegalZoom. Visit LegalZoom.com to save on your legal needs and gain access to a network of legal plan attorneys for guidance. LegalZoom is not a law firm, but provides self-help services at your specific direction. Visit LegalZoom.com and use offer code TWIG to receive $10 off at checkout. It's time for Twig, This Week in Google, and today it's just the three of us, the core group, Gina Trapani in Mom's house in Brooklyn, wearing a Jets blanket. Hi, Gina.
Hi, good to be here.
Nice to see
As
you.
As always, just getting the internet set up at the new house, you know, takes a while. Good to see you, too.
Yeah.
Always love my Twig.
Are you going with Xfinity, Comcast, or what are you going to use for your internet service over there?
We didn't have very many choices. It's basically Time Warner.
Oh, well, it's soon to be known as Comcast.
Yeah.
That's Jeff Jarvis over there. He's at the City University of New York, CUNY, where he teaches.
Gina's in her blanket. I'm in my warm
fleece.
Yeah, we're I'm not in warm California anymore.
Did you have a good trip?
I had a spectacular trip. But thank you for your magnificent hospitality and generosity.
Well, I didn't do much.
And having us in, and my boss in. Yeah. She had a great time. She now knows what fork means.
Nice. Now that's an education.
This whole discussion going by about forking Android.
She admitted it after the show. I didn't know what that was about, but
she figured it out.
We had
an incredible. The next day, I spoke to the content team at LinkedIn, and we saw Flipboard. And then the next day, Friday, I saw Vic and Bradley and Richard Gingras at Google. And then I met with the head of product for Google Glass, and then met with the strategy team at Google, which is an amazing thing. And then spent 2.5 hours with Reid Hoffman, which was just plain an honor.
Neat.
So it was a phenomenal rest of the week.
Neat. Well, it's good to have you. It was good to have you out here. Please come out anytime.
Great to be there.
And it was really fun having her. Sarah was great. Sarah Bartlett, the dean of the School of Journalism at the City University of New York. And we had a good time.
Yeah.
So your Pixel, end of life, April 2, 2017.
They better have a new one by then.
I can't promise you a new one. Is this new, the Chrome OS end of life policy? This is something
I think it's a new list. I wish they wouldn't. Wouldn't you wish they'd do this for phones too? They're committing to a date until which they will support Chrome.
Right. I guess that's one way to look at it. Instead of saying end of life, they should say, here's how long we're going to support this.
Yeah, it would have been a better way to put it. Yeah, because it's a commitment that goes beyond the life of most Android phones, frankly.
Right. So Microsoft does this. In fact, you know, it's in the news right now because April 8th will be the end of life for Windows XP. No more updates. I had not seen this before.
No, I hadn't either.
With Google. These are Chrome OS devices, right?
Yes.
Chromebooks.
So my Pixel is till April 2017, which that's okay.
Now, it says these are unofficial end-of-life dates. Official EOL for these models will be at this date or later. And the only exception there is the Samsung Series 5, which that's the officially announced end-of-life, which is January 2016.
So I guess the difference here would be that after the end of life, you could keep on using your Microsoft device forever on your old OS and it's fine.
Right.
This thing, it might say, sorry, you're Chrome. We update Chrome and we can't update you, so bye.
Will it?
I don't know.
A device, this is what Google says, reaches EOL, it means the product model is considered obsolete and will no longer receive full support.
Full support.
From Google's enterprise team. Additionally, enterprise customers using devices, enterprise is not us, it's business, that have passed their EOL update may find they cannot manage their devices as expected using the administrator control panel or leverage new management features. Automatic software updates are not guaranteed. It doesn't say it won't work anymore. This is what happens with Microsoft, too. They're just not going to fix it. So if there's exploits, that's bad. Chromebooks, I would worry less about exploits. Is it possible having an old version of Chrome will keep you from visiting some sites?
Well, I mean, the thing is, I can't ever have an old version of Chrome. Whenever you restart the machine after a new version has come out, you get it.
Right, but you won't after April 2017. That's the point.
Not necessarily, right. It sounds.
Not even that. Not, yeah, won't is not even right. May not. May not.
I have kind of mixed feelings about this disposable computer thing.
Me too.
Didn't Microsoft support Windows versions for like 10 years?
And more.
There was such an uproar with XP that they extended it?
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously we both agree that you're a developer. You know you can't support software forever and ever and ever. Comes a time, you got to move on.
Particularly software that is so closely tied to the hardware. I mean, with Microsoft has to support so many different hardware configurations anyway by design, you know, over the years. And part of the reason why Windows is so kind of crufty and heavy, right, is that it's got different drivers for different things. And Android kind of has the same thing. With the Chromebooks, it's like, you know, it's a hardware software that the package is tied together. I don't know. I kind of feel like they could do better than 4 years. I'd like them to do better than 4 years. But then again, their whole take on the Chromebook is that it's this disposable computer that you can throw in the river and get a new one.
Yeah, when it's $200, I mean, my $1,500 machine, probably Pixel owners should be a little more upset. But when have I ever kept a computer longer than 3 years?
Well, right. That's true. But, you know, if they're targeting developing countries or education or young kids,
that's a really good point, Gina.
Don't have, you know, the kind of resources that we have or the kind of, you know, computing demands that we have. I mean, look, it's a lot better than Android, right? Android was, you know, purportedly supposed to be every 18 months they were going to upgrade. And that's not shorter than even a 2-year contract. We talked about this a little bit last night on All About Android. So 4 years is okay. But it's just interesting to see, you know, that change, that commitment to backwards compatibility, which was very much a hallmark of Microsoft's approach to software, for better or for worse, kind of flipped on its head. And that's, I think, because in its DNA, Google is a web company. And when you deploy web software, you deploy it and it's updated, right? So like here's a web company trying to distribute devices running desktop software. And they're like, we're not going to,
Gene, I was talking to somebody when I was at Google. I won't say who, but I was just talking to somebody at Google and I talked about web stuff and they kind of just poo-pooed. Oh, web.
What?
They're a mobile company.
Oh, wow. I wouldn't poo-poo web. I don't think desktop's going away.
I wouldn't either. I think it was done for effect, but wow. You know, where they're putting the resources is mobile.
Yeah, but they're putting the resources into GMS, right, which is that layer on top of Android that interacts with the cloud. So I equate web with cloud services, and there is a difference between consumer web
but
and
browser,
cloud services.
Web browser. I was complaining about something I wanted in a web browser, and I was kind of told, Grandpa, jeez.
That's absurd. I'm sorry. That's absurd. People are going to use desktops for a long time to come.
Yeah, of course. But in terms of where their resources, I think it was illustrative of where their resources are going, where they see the importance of development. And, you know, given choices of priorities, they're, you know, we see all these numbers now about these huge proportions of traffic are mobile. I think that's a misnomer in great measure. We talked about this in the show before, because I think that it bundles in things that are not mobile, like tablets. And we need to redefine what mobile means. Mobile means a phone to me. And you're gone somewhere else. But even then, you're still using a browser. You're still using the web. But I pointed to my beloved Pixel and it was kind of,
Wow. So maybe by 2017, you won't. You'll be using,
I'll be using my Google Glass, of course.
It makes sense if you're Facebook or Google or Yahoo to think that what you want to do is transition your revenue to mobile, because that's how more and more. More than half now of all computing is done on mobile. But it doesn't mean the end of the world for desktop by any means. I don't anticipate that ever happening.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'm not asking you to reveal who you talk to, but I think this depends a lot on who.
Yeah.
You know, what
if it was Sundar Pichai, well, Okay.
But because we were out there looking at what we should do as a journalism school, and we keep on talking how we have to do more mobile, and we know we have to do more mobile, and every media company I know says that. But when I heard that, I thought, even more than I thought.
Yikes.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, that's an interesting thing to hear from Google.
I had a very pleasant lunch with Steve Lee, who's the head of Google Glass product. I just asked as a condition that he not punch me out when we sat down, and he didn't. He was very, very nice. And I want it on the record. I have ordered my lenses.
Oh, he turned you around on it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've kind of felt like a schmuck, and you know, I need to know how this thing operates in optimal conditions, and I've never had it in optimal conditions. So my wife's not happy, but I ordered my lenses.
I talked to somebody. So we had two people from Google in the audience, unbeknownst to me, on Sunday during Twit, one of whom does marketing for Google Glass. And she was sitting on her hands because I was saying things like, every time I see somebody with glass on, I feel like I just want to punch him in the nose. another person came up who was wearing with prescription lenses and said, you know, you really haven't experienced it. And I wear glasses like you, Jeff. Mm-hmm. You really haven't experienced it. And that's, I think, what you're saying, unless you've tried it with your prescription glasses on.
I guess that's what I have to do.
Yeah.
Or I should have gotten contacts, but I'm too squeamish.
Well, so you were, you really weren't, you couldn't see it.
Couldn't see it. No, I couldn't.
Well, how?
I was, so, well, it was over my
glasses. Jeff.
It was over my glasses.
Oh, you were wearing it over your glasses.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really
better,
silly.
Better with these glasses than horn rims or something.
Yeah.
People who have black framed glasses can't use it at all. Here, but you had to adjust it constantly to try to get right in there.
How many geeks don't wear glasses? Seems like if you're a geek, the glasses go with the territory.
Yeah, I think so.
Gina, you wear glasses, I'm sure.
I don't.
Stop it. You're not a geek.
Gina is perfect.
I got lucky with
you have
good
perfect eyes.
Eyes,
really?
Gina is perfect in all ways.
I guess that confirms what we've always suspected, but golly.
Gina is an Android. It's not about Android. Gina is an Android.
Oh, I wish. I'd be much more efficient.
Gina is an Android. Gina is an Android. Wow.
Fueled solely by Diet Pepsi.
You have reached singularity, Gina. A world fueled by Diet Pepsi.
Like it. I don't know if we want to belabor this. I think all hardware has to come to an end. It does seem a little Swift, the Acer AC700, which is only a couple of years old, ends July 2015, next summer.
So
3 years seems quick.
So what's the number? Is 5 years good?
I'd say 10. I mean, this problem with computer hardware is the hardware itself, especially with solid-state drives, never wears out.
Right.
And it doesn't, I don't understand why you can't support it. Maybe it's going to get slower and slower, but what? What features?
I don't know.
When you make Chrome OS, well, see, this is the question. What is Google thinking they're going to do that would make this happen?
Obsolete.
I mean, it seems like graceful degradation. You know, even if they
it gets slower,
that
big
depends
deal
on new hardware. You know, get it to work without that feature on slower hardware. I mean, that slows down the development process, and it adds, you know, it can add some complexity to your code base. But
isn't the whole notion of Chrome that every device is automatically upgraded to the same Chrome level, and that's what makes it secure because it's verifying. You always know it has the fixed up latest version of Chrome. You have no choice about that. You have a choice of which track you're on, but you have a blessed version of Chrome when you turn this machine on. And if it's not blessed, it will not work. And that's what gives Chrome its security and its consistency, right? Architecturally, that's just different from Windows, where I bought the OS.
Yeah, I mean, my favorite sort of little fun fact about Chrome is that the first thing that the developers built before they built any browser functionality was the auto-update functionality.
Huh. Wow.
Like the first thing that they built, people ran just a little executable on their desktop that would auto update. Like that was the first thing they did because it was, you know, Chrome was from the beginning supposed to do graceful, silent, instantaneous updates that didn't require you to restart. I don't know if you remember Firefox. It was a bear. You always had to restart. You knew they made it a big, you know, Mozilla would do these giant big parties about new Firefox releases. We all knew the version
numbers.
That's
right. That's right.
And now, remember?
Yeah,
and Chrome does. I mean, Chrome's version numbers are insanely long. They're constantly pushing out updates. It happens silently. You don't even know.
Well, you do have to restart, though. You do have to restart.
Occasionally you do. Occasionally you do. Or the little hamburger turns orange and says, hey, please update Chrome. I mean, at this point, I really don't shut down my computer or shut down Chrome very often. So I'll catch that once in a while. But it's a completely different paradigm than what it used to be.
Yeah.
So we came from a world of Windows updates that would be like multiple restarts and pack service packs. And then we had Firefox, which was like, you know, also sort of very old school version, big version drop releases to Chrome, which was the silent update. So, yeah, I mean, silent updates that happen without you having to, you know, deal with them automatically. That's like one of the basis, you know, it's that and speed were the two things that Chrome really promised. So that's why this end of life thing seems strange to me.
From a hardware perspective, I mean, we've talked on the show about the potential of the modular phone and Google's working on that and others working on that, where you take an old chip out and put a new chip in. Shouldn't a laptop be like that? I mean, you know, the screen is pretty much good for a long time. The camera is good for a long time. The keyboard is buttery and beautiful. The trackpad is buttery and beautiful. You know, what I need in Chromebooks is more RAM, and there's a new chip that offers something.
I think you're missing the point here. Chrome cannot ever get to the point where it won't work on the mass of PC hardware and that's out there. The Chrome browser. They're never going to say, you can no longer run the Chrome browser on your Intel Core 2. It just will run slower. There's no way they're making Chrome incompatible with the vast majority of PCs out there, right?
That's not an OS. That's the browser.
But Chrome OS is just a browser.
It does more with the machine.
It's the browser on top of some sort of layer that picks up the computer, right? I mean,
what? Are you going to require fingerprint reading or scanning? No.
Maybe at some point.
You might be poking at something there. I mean, right?
Yeah, security. Clearly what's wrong with security in this world is that we should get to the point where knowing your name and your social security number and one of the passwords you use for a service shouldn't matter. Shouldn't matter at all because there's better security mechanisms. So yeah, it could be something like that, Leo. Yeah.
No.
No.
They're trying to make people buy new computers, I think.
Well, they just bought a company. They bought a company with the new voice security thing.
That's bogus, by the way.
Oh, it is. Oh.
Wait, is it's voice or I thought that
sound. So you go to a website, it plays an inaudible tone that your phone picks up and authenticates you.
Oh, is that it? Oh, I thought it was.
We were talking with Steve Gibson about this because he's doing something similar. That's an open source project to do a similar thing, but not with sound. And it's his opinion. I think he's right. This was an acquire. This was hiring the engineers.
But it clearly shows a direction.
That's a lot better than entering a freaking code from Google Authenticator, right? I mean,
well, it is if you have speaker, and it's too hardware dependent. It's called slick logging.
I see what you're saying.
But password dependent is no good either.
They want the engineers. I don't think they care about. Well, there are better ways to do this that don't require you holding your smartphone up to the speaker. That may or may not exist on your hardware. What if you have a computer?
Whistle.
Yeah, that's silly. I don't think that's the actual reason they acquired this. I think they wanted the engineers. But we'll see. Maybe Google will announce an audio authentication system.
I mean, if you know what I go through for two-step authentication at this point, like that experience can be improved so much more.
This is not two-step. Right? This is something separate. This is password-free authentication.
Right, right, okay.
And that's what Steve is also doing with his Squirrel project. The idea being that just as you – I'll give you an example that will ring with you, Gina, where you use SSH. You have the keys stored on the server that you're logging into. You don't use a password. It's more secure using public key crypto. And this is something similar to that, as Steve's doing. The sound would just be like a QR code. I think this is not something Google is particularly interested in. That would be my guess, but I'm just guessing. I haven't spoken to anybody at Google.
Can we talk about Google I.O.? I know I'm skipping ahead.
Hey, Google I.O.! It's in June this year.
Sundar Pichai just posted to his Google Plus page less than an hour ago. The dates, June 25th, June 26th. And they're making changes to registration. You won't need to scramble the second registration opens, Sundar says. Successful, they'll be implementing a new system where you could submit your interest to attend Google I.O.
Oh, no. You have to apply.
Yeah, successful applicants will then be randomly selected and notified shortly thereafter. We'll be
it's like
up
Howard
with
Stern's birthday
details.
Party.
It's like it's Burning Man.
If it's anything like Google developer interviews, I'm probably in big trouble. You guys saw the scene in the internship when it was like,
yeah.
if a tiny man was shrunk down and stuck into a blender, like,
how would they get out?
Get out.
By the way, I never did understand how they got out, but okay.
It's something physics.
Let us go on the record right now. Anyone watching from Google, please.
I'm pretty sure that press... Come?
Press is different than developers.
Gina, knock on that paneling behind you.
But, you know, it's a measure of how popular this is. And I'm glad that they did this because in the past, the whole thing has been, all gone in 30 seconds.
Yeah.
It's like that Nick Cage movie. Gone in 30 seconds. So this is not who can click fastest.
Right.
Although it would be a kind of a good test. Who can write the best script to auto-register for Google I.O., then you'd have to be a good coder.
Right, and then you'd have to get in, just for your efforts.
Then Matt Cutts comes and kills them.
Right. So this makes sense, although it shows how popular they are, that they have far more people wanting to go than they can fit in, so they have to do a random drawing of all entries. Wow.
I think people want to go to Google I.O., not for the developer resources, or not necessarily to be there when they make big announcements. They want to go for the swag.
Well, okay, can I make a suggestion? Then they stop, you know, no more Santa Pichai. They start just to stop giving away crap.
They
start to pull back. I mean, they started to reel that in a little bit last year, right? Remember that moment where I think it was Sundar who said, oh, this new phone, you're not getting one. Like, it's
good.
You know, $179 in the Play Store, and everyone in the room was sort of like,
hey,
That whole Oprah thing kind of freaks me out about I.O. I think if we took away that element, there would be less competition for people to get in there.
Right.
And that's, as a developer, that must cheese you off.
Well, I mean, listen, I like my toys too, but, you know, I was in line at Google I.O. at one point, I was chatting with the folks in front of me, and they were like, oh, you know, we're students, so with the student discount, we got in for this much, but the value of these goodies that we got is way more than that, so when we eBay them, you know, we're really going to make money back. I was like, that's why you're here? I mean, I'm not saying that these kids, and they were cute, and they were
that's
earnest,
terrible.
And they were smart. I don't think that they were necessarily representative, but it was a weird reason to want to go.
Those people, you know what? There was a word for it in Yiddish. They're schnorrers.
That's a new one on me.
I'm a bunch of Gentiles around here.
I'm an honorary Jew.
Schnorrers are chiselers, sponges, spongers.
Yep.
They are a schnorrer, according to the Jewish dictionary, is distinguished from an ordinary beggar by dint of his boundless chutzpah. A schnorrer is far worse than a cheap or miserly person. He's often unethical to the point of stealing. Is the stealing always illegal? No. In fact, more often than stealing is quite subtle and perfectly legal. Legal but not ethical. You're a schnorrer. Knock it off.
What I think is going to be interesting is what kind of system could Google possibly implement to make this? I mean, it sounds like it's basically going to be a lottery. But, you know, Andy Bayo does XOXO, and he had an application process for the conference, right? Because he had a similar thing where he just had so many people wanted to come and only so much space, and he wanted to maintain a level of intimacy that Google I.O. certainly does not have. But he had people answer a set of questions, you know, three or four questions. He wanted makers. He wanted people who were creatives. And that him and his conference chair went through them and chose people kind of by hand.
Yeah,
and,
I mean, I think
there was
as
a lot of controversy about that.
You know, you should be there, Gina, because you are going to build stuff that's going
right
to be dangerous. The truth is, I shouldn't be, but shh.
No, you should be there as a journalist.
They should look at their self-interest in I.O., and they want developers who build things, who build this future. and they should be, there should be like a university admission.
Exactly.
How do they know that I'm someone who's going to make stuff? Like, do they say only a developer?
Because you've made it.
You look at, you know what? Do it on GitHub. You get in by your GitHub.
That's true.
You get in by your GitHub account, or do you have to have a you know, an application listed in the Play Store or in the Chrome Web Store?
Maybe.
Do you have to show your GitHub profile?
For all we know, they're doing that because it sounds like there's this pre-qualification a little bit, right? Random, but for all we know, they're going to take everybody who asks. They're going to look at their GitHub account. I bet you they've got a Python script that then sorts them and then randomly picks them.
Actually, they already know who they want there, and they're going to put it in your brain that you want to come, and they're going to make you apply. Yes, it's more presumptive than that.
But, you know, they're also trying to get new developers in, right?
That's true, too.
You don't want devs who are already sold, right. You know, who are already going to do the work
But you still want people who, let's put it this way. If you're not putting stuff on GitHub, should they want you there?
I mean,
is that a minimum requirement?
A lot of developers work for companies who don't open source their stuff and their work's in the dark. Does that mean that doesn't necessarily mean that they're less worthy? And a lot of developers work for companies and build the Android app, but their company's Android app is listed as the company's Android app, right? Because they're employed.
Right.
So this is tough. This is hard.
I bet you there's an algorithm. Google's an algorithmic company. I bet you they figured it out.
I'm sure that there's some sort of algorithm. I'm sure there's also major selection bias.
Yes.
And I look forward to critiquing the algorithm.
Yes. All right. Let's do it. Let's critique the algorithm.
In any case, Google, please.
Don't be a schnorrer.
I bought my Chromebook.
That's right. You did.
I bought a Chromebook. Yeah. I bought my glass. I bought my frames. I bought my lenses.
Actually, yeah, you're no schnorrer.
Well, I've gotten snoring things. I've got my original Nexus phone came from Davos. They gave them out.
Oh yeah, that's all right.
Yeah, you know, I've taken my Google swag. I should have worn my Google Plus hat today that I bought.
Did you buy a Google Plus hat?
That's a Google Plus hat. Yes, in the commercial break, I'll go open together.
I want to see a Google Plus hat. I didn't even. Where'd you buy it?
At the Google Swag Store, which is my.
You went in. You have to go in. I get it. Yeah.
And they have to escort you in.
What? Yes. Was not open to the unwashed masses?
God, no. Oh, God, no. So they take you in. And luckily, I beat a big tour group. you've been in the store, haven't you?
No. I apparently don't have the...
Next time you're on the campus.
They escorted us as well. I was there for the Google Summer Code, like the Mentor Summit, and there were scheduled times, and we were escorted by a Googler. We had free run of the store.
Yeah.
It was a Sunday. They clearly opened it up for us. I mean, it definitely seems like a guest thing.
It's great.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's kind of over the river and through the woods, like to get there.
Oh, really?
No, it's just over. It's over in 1950. It's mm-hmm. over, it's,
yeah. No, but you have to cross that little bridge. It's like
a little bridge. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
That's where Google Plus is. So that's, I was in that neighborhood.
Wow, I've never been there.
Speaking of Plus, this New York Times story.
Oh.
Jeff, did you call this laughable? I feel like we've got a
I'm the one who said laughable. I was just screaming about it because it it's going to set Leo off too.
I didn't see it, so tell me and I can get mad.
It just starts off on the old ghost town shtick.
How can, and I'm the one of the people who says, Google Plus is a great place to talk with people who work at Google, but.
It is, and I was with Vic and Bradley and Richard Gingras and I'm sure you won't mind me quoting him to this effect because it's positive to Google Plus, but Vic's saying, we've really grown a hell of a lot in a hell of a short time, and he likens it to the growth of an Android or something like that. It's still on a spike. I still think, it's very clearly the quality of what I do on Google Plus versus what I do on Facebook versus what I do on Twitter versus what I do on Medium. They all have their roles,
right?
And it's not room for one. It's not a zero sum game in my life. And so I use Google Plus. I like Google Plus. There are a lot of people here who use Google Plus. And just because you don't use it, New York. I mean, Claire Kane Miller is a tech writer, and it was
absurd. Was that her thing? Is I don't use it, and so.
Well, I guess that must be what it is because to her it's a ghost town. But the real problem then was it comes around and says, oh, it's not there for you to be social. No, they have a secret agenda. They want to target ads. No, bullpucky. Of course they do. That's their whole business model. You just discovered this. It was just stupid. It was page one stupidity. So there was, and I can see what's going to happen. Bradley Horowitz goes for an interview and then, gets burned. And so this forces.
Oh, was he interviewed in this article?
Well, he's quoted a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Piss me off.
I've really torn the corner with Google Plus. I have to say, if you go to my Google Plus profile, it looks as if I don't use it at all, right? Because I haven't posted anything publicly in a while. But Google Hangouts has become a part of my daily life. Mm-hmm. The video conferencing with my daughter is amazing.
Oh, that's neat.
The little hats and the mustache, the little effects cracks her up. So we use that all the time.
I want to see that.
Yeah, I mean, really. The other day, I had forgotten to push some stuff to GitHub from my home computer. So I hangouted my wife and said, hey, can you just allow remote desktop access? And I wound up, you know, remoting into my home computer using Hangouts. I turned on auto backup for my photos and videos. Auto awesome videos that Google Plus makes are amazing. Like if you've got a little kid or a pet and you just, I'm never going to edit video. But I take video now only because of Google Plus, because the auto awesome videos are great. The auto backup of my photos is amazing. So like I use parts of Google. I use Google Plus a lot, but just in the dark. I use the private features. So I'm not using, you know, the social tool really. But yeah, I mean, for a while we actually wound up switching to Slack, but my company was using Google Hangouts as like our internal chat. Speaking of, Slack is really, really good. It's in preview. Yes.
Who's doing Slack? Stuart Butterfield. Okay. Flickr founder.
Flickr co-founder. And Stuart, just as an aside here, wrote a fantastic resignation letter from Yahoo years ago about how he was in the tin business. What happened to the tin business? And now he has a letter to his staff about being in the saddle business.
He's a character.
I love Stuart. He's just great.
It's a fine piece of software, Slack. I've got to say.
Is it a project management tool? It's enterprise
it's
focused.
It's communications. It's chat. So it's a really beautifully designed web-based, similar to IRC. I hate to say IRC because IRC, like in its, you know, even the nice clients, like I'm using Textual, it's so much better experience than that. But you can attach files and you can, you have different channels or whatever, but it's been really great for my team. And the mobile apps are just gorgeous. And
is it
really,
invite
really
only
nice.
Right now, or is it open?
I think it is invite only. And I'm not sure actually
really,
how we got an invite. I think Anil
asked for it. You know, it's a fax machine problem, right? You got to know somebody to make it useful to you.
Slack.com. Yeah. Can you send me an invite, Gina?
I'll see what I can do.
Seems like we'd like to use this here. We've tried a lot of these things. I mean, there's a million of them.
There's a million of them.
Yammer is similar.
Yeah, we used Campfire for a while, and then we were using Hangouts. And it's really nice. I'll see what I can do. To hurry along your invitation. Anyway, back to Google Plus. I use Google Plus all the time. It is not obvious from my page on Google Plus because I don't use it to post public updates. I could, I should. I have guilt about it, just like I have guilt about not blogging. That's another thing. But I think that people just have to stop equating Google Plus with the social product.
Actually, I just signed up. It said I'll get an invitation by February 28th, so I can wait. That's 9 days.
Okay, cool. That's soon.
Yeah.
Oh, they're going to go live. That's great.
That's really good of them to say, give you a date. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is really nice.
Yeah. So Facebook just bought WhatsApp for $16 billion.
Oh, that just happened?
Just happened.
$16 billion?
WhatsApp had said for a long time, we are not for sale.
$16 billion?
That's what they're saying in the chat room. Do we have a link? Because I'm looking for it right now.
$16 billion that's a lot. WhatsApp is extremely popular.
Give me a link, somebody, because maybe that's just bogus. Here it is, businessinsinsider.com. That would be.
I used WhatsApp a little bit at Davos. I still don't understand WhatsApp.
Oh, I use it all the time.
Where it fits in.
It's internet-based messaging. It's a very crowded space. People use Facebook, Apple's Messenger, and other programs for it. It allows you to send media as well as text.
Right.
Facebook, for $12 billion in stock and $4 billion in cash, according to Business Insider. That is a stunning amount of money. I mean, given that YouTube was just a billion sum.
Wow.
But you know what's going to happen? Facebook stock is going to go up, you know, higher than it'll make it up in no time flat.
They got the cash. That's crazy money.
That of course, is crazy money.
Remember, Facebook started this all by paying, it seems so long ago, $1 billion for Instagram.
Right, and we all went nuts about that.
WhatsApp, which is a mobile app for iOS, Android. I think they have it for Windows Phone. I'm not sure. I'll have to check. It's cross-platform. It's internet-based text and audio and video messaging. It is probably the number one of these programs. Remember, they bought Beluga not too many years ago as well, which was a very similar program. So it strikes me that the technology they probably already have, this must be, they're buying this for the users, which is a big user base. Facebook bought Beluga in March of, 2011, 3 years ago. Let me see if I can find the price.
Boy, the press release is just numbing. Pursuant to the terms of the merger agreement, MergerSub will merge with and into WhatsApp, the first merger, and upon consummation of the first merger, MergerSub will cease to exist and WhatsApp will become a wholly owned subsidiary of the acquirer. The surviving corporation of the first merger will then merge with and into acquirer, which will continue to exist as a wholly owned, in part directly and in part indirectly, subsidiary of parent. Upon consummation, the closing of the transactions contemplated. Jesus Christ.
Well, I don't know why they would release the business deal memo as a
press release.
That's pretty stupid.
Whoa, man.
But it might be you could tell some stuff from that.
Yeah, you can.
It's not unusual that that's basically what we're seeing is the SEC Form 8K. It's not unusual for you to do something like this when you acquire a new company because what you don't what you're doing is you're acquiring the assets of the company without the employees.
Right, exactly.
There's reasons that they would structure it that way, but I don't think we
need to. It's just weird that they would make that the press release.
We don't really need to worry about it. $16 billion. Most of that stock, though. 12 million, 12 billion stock.
Holy smokes.
$4 billion.
183 million shares of parents Class A common valued at $12 billion based on the closing price 6 day preceding.
So now when Mark Zuckerberg gives a record $1 billion to charity, you can just kind of say, well, that's, nothing. Mark, come on.
Hey, Mark. Same journalism, will you? I got a few ideas.
I got some ideas.
We'll talk.
I'll do it for $500 million. Honest,
Sick.
Wouldn't you and I get together to save journalism for half a billion? Easy.
Oh, yeah. Easy.
I mean, Pierre Omidyar only is paying $250 million to Glenn Greenwald. Jeff Bezos, $250 million.
Yeah, and all
for
their
Wall Street
jets
Journal.
And a few magazines. We'll save all of journalism.
We'll save all of journalism.
All of it.
So Motorola sold for $12 billion and WhatsApp sold for $16 billion. Think about that.
Wow. You're buying the users. You're buying the users. That's what you're buying.
How many users does it have?
Tons. It's the easily the most
so replaceable.
I had a serious addictive WhatsApp period. I have since graduated, but now it's a good app. It's for people who don't want to pay for text messaging or don't want to use regular text messaging. It's chatting on the phone. I mean, I get it. I mean, it's Facebook Messenger.
In December of
Facebook is buying computers.
Facebook has the technology. In December of 2013, WhatsApp passed 400 million monthly users, regular users. 400 million, that's all. That's double what they had in April, though. So they were growing quite fast. In fact, you might assume that it is considerably over 400 million if they're doubling at that point.
And Facebook clearly sees its future as mobile,
right?
And that also illuminates that line from Google.
Here's a critical note. There's a survey that came out in December that said at 44% of all smartphone users polled, WhatsApp overtook Facebook as the leading mobile messaging service back in December. They have 44% of all mobile messaging.
If you can't beat them, buy them.
Yep. 35% Facebook Messenger. 44% of now this was a survey of 4,000 worldwide in five countries, 4,000 users in five countries. 44% use WhatsApp at least once a week. Wow, that's a huge amount of money. If you're just tuning in, this is kind of breaking news. Facebook's just announced the acquisition of mobile messaging app WhatsApp for $16 billion, $12 billion in stock. $4 billion in cash. That is huge. Huge. We're going to take a break. We'll come back with more. You guys, if you want, can do a little thinking about what this means. And we'll return. And we'll show you WhatsApp. I have it on a number of my my devices if you want it. If you've not used it, I can't imagine anybody's not used it. At the growth rate, somebody in the chat room said at the current growth rate of WhatsApp, it would have been able to buy Facebook in 6 months. So this was almost necessary. This was a defensive move.
No, they didn't have Facebook cash.
Our show today brought to you by Personal Capital. My friend Bill Harris joined us on Triangulation more than a year ago. He's a former CEO of PayPal and Intuit, knows a little bit about money. And he was telling me about this startup, Personal Capital. He said, you know, the problem people have right now is just every one of their financial accounts is a different website with a different password. There's no easy way to look at it. And we're not just talking all your checking accounts. We're talking your mortgage, your loans, your credit cards, and your investments. They're all spread out everywhere. Personal Capital makes it easy to see where you stand by combining all of those accounts into a single page with beautiful real-time graphs. And then once you do that, you can make sense of it, make the right investments. In fact, one of the things people do often is overpay for management of these assets. You can do it yourself with personalcapital.com. It'll show you how much you're overpaying in fees and how to reduce those fees. You'll get tailored advice on how to optimize your investment strategy. And it's free. So why wait? Signing up just takes a minute. It's secure. I know sometimes people, Gina, you and I had this issue with another financial service. But do I want to give them all my stuff? They're using the same back end that all the banks do. It's completely secure. You're not giving them information that service doesn't already have, in other words. And boy, it pays big dividends. Total clarity and transparency to make better investment decisions instantly. They really are great. PersonalCapital.com/twig. That's the page to go to so they know you saw it on This Week in Google. PersonalCapital.com/twig. It's free and it's a smart way to grow your money. PersonalCapital.com/twig. We thank them for their support. And if you grow your money right, maybe someday you too can buy a messaging app for $16 billion.
Jesus.
It doesn't seem possible.
I'm just watching my tweets go by about this.
Yeah.
About so half Sequoia $1 billion Capital. Per employee.
Half a billion
Sequoia
per employee.
Sequoia Capital is it. Total funding, $8 million, $8 million from Sequoia.
You're kidding.
I think so. Go to Crunchbase and see if I got that wrong.
That's amazing. If that's all, it's an Israeli company, I believe. Is that right?
It says Santa Clara.
Oh. I thought it was in Israel for some reason. Google had offered them $4 billion earlier, according to Dubai. I think that's correct. WhatsApp has consistently said, no, we're not going to sell.
If you're Sequoia, you say, take it.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
$8
yeah.
$8 million funding.
Now, they don't the revenue model for WhatsApp is probably sufficient, but it's a buck a year. It's not an expensive app, and the first year's free.
Do they have a cost structure of having to fit into SMS?
No, they're not SMS. It's all internet.
It's all web.
So when I send to somebody, I'm not sending into their SMS.
No.
No, okay.
Although, on Android, you can determine what your default SMS app is. I've never tried using WhatsApp as my default SMS.
Here's my dumb question, because obviously I'm not a big user of it. How do I get a tribe on WhatsApp as opposed to my tribes in any other messaging app? I have to rebuild it from scratch?
You know, I logged into WhatsApp, if I remember correctly, like I logged into WhatsApp and I had a message that was like, 16 of your friends are all using WhatsApp.
It looks at your contact
list. They were there. Yeah, they were there already.
Yeah. It's very widely used.
Nobody wants to send me any messages. I'm a ghost.
No, it's just that we know you're an old man, so you're not going to use WhatsApp.
Yeah,
actually, a lot of people use WhatsApp. Everybody uses WhatsApp. It's very just. I took it off because nobody I really want to message with uses it.
So that's the issue I have. Yeah, I mean, I believe it. Here's my obnoxious moment. Not that I don't. I have obnoxious moments every show. Here's labeled
another one.
It was used as the party roundup for Davos.
WhatsApp was.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
So I got into the WhatsApp app so I knew where the parties were.
That's all you needed to see.
I was too old to go, so.
Looks like they had a single round of venture funding at in 2011, April 2011, for $8 million, and they sold for $16 billion. Brian Acton, Jim Coombe, and are the co-founders, and they had a big payday today.
Wow. Jeez.
Let's see if the blog at WhatsApp is, yeah, here it is, Facebook. Almost 5 years ago, we started WhatsApp with a simple mission, building a cool product used globally by everybody. Nothing else mattered to us. You see the platforms they're on, by the way, iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, Nokia, and Windows Phone. So they're very universal. Today, we're announcing a partnership with Facebook that will allow us to continue on that simple mission. Doing this will give WhatsApp the flexibility to grow and expand while giving me, Brian, and the rest of the team more time to focus on building a communication service that's as fast, affordable, and personal as possible. It sounds like they're going to maintain. See, with Beluga, it went out of business. They just incorporated the Beluga engineering team and presumably some of the code into Facebook Messenger, and that was it. It was gone. We liked Beluga. It was great group messaging. Well, that's another thing people use this for is group messaging, as at Davos.
So is that Jan Combe or Jan Combe or however you say his name?
Yeah. Who's writing this? Yeah.
Yeah, he dropped out of San Jose State where he was studying computers.
Another college dropout billionaire.
It's so Anil just tweeted a link to a blog post that Jan or Jan posted in 2012, why we don't sell ads.
Yeah. They don't sell ads. In fact, they didn't want to sell the app. They were very focused. And I guess it's paid off. On a personal note, he writes, Brian and I couldn't be more proud to be part of a small team of people who, in just under 5 years, built a communication service that now supports over 450 million monthly active users worldwide, 320 million daily active users.
Brian appears to be the grown-up. He was VP engineering at Yahoo in 96.
Wow.
Oh, wow, he's an old guy.
Yeah. He's looking pretty sprightly to me right now. Oof. So he's got a Stanford. He's Stanford BS computer science in 94.
They also support asynchronous messaging with voice, so you can leave a voice message for somebody. It's a you know what? Well, it's nothing Facebook Messenger couldn't do. Nothing.
Skype does that video message thing.
Yep. And Facebook has a relationship with Skype.
All my Facebook users will now be visible to WhatsApp, and now WhatsApp will be useful to me.
That's part of it.
So the question is, and I get the feeling from this blog post, I know the answer, but the question is, does it get folded into Facebook Messenger, or does it stand alone as a separate app? And it sounds like they expect to stand alone as a separate app, which really then makes you wonder, what is the gain on from Facebook that's worth $16 billion?
Yeah, it's interesting. It seems to be the refrain from acquired companies, from Nest and Motorola, we heard this from, and now WhatsApp. You know, the we're not changing. We're going to operate. This is kind of like even the way they worded it was, we're announcing a partnership with Facebook.
Weird.
Right?
It's literally 10 times the purchase price, if I remember correctly, of YouTube.
Yes, that's exactly
10
right.
10 times. I don't see it.
Well, YouTube, they got it. You know what? YouTube was a bargain.
It was a bargain.
we didn't know it at the time. In fact, it's kind of amazing, but it really was a bargain. I can't think this is a bargain in any respect.
No.
It is definitely eliminating competition.
Well, let's look. Who could have gotten this in a way that would have hurt Facebook horribly? Google. Would Google have bought this? They tried to for $4 billion.
Yeah. Conceivably, Apple.
Yeah.
LinkedIn.
Yeah. Microsoft?
Microsoft might be the most credible.
Because of Skype.
Yeah. But they already have two products that are very similar, GroupMe and Yammer. So.
Well, but as you said, there's nothing here that Facebook Messenger couldn't do, so it's not the product that matters.
You know, Gina and I could write this app in about a week. Right?
Gina, why didn't you?
Jeez. Because, you know, it's not about the technology. It's not about the code.
It's about the users.
It's about use it right. And it's about being in the right place in the right time and having the right branding and the right copy and getting in the right hands and having that one lucky moment where somebody mentions it. I mean, right? And this is something, this is really a humbling realization for me. At different parts of my career, I have to keep rehaving it. the code does not matter as much as I, as a developer, would like to think.
Is it design? Yeah. Is it UI? Is it, what is it?
I think it's whatever brought the
people in. It's the people who matter. That's what I keep on trying to say to media. It's everybody. It's the people who matter. The user base.
It's acquisition, and it's good user experience that makes that flow. It's compelling people. You know, I started using WhatsApp because a good friend of mine was on WhatsApp, and I wanted to talk to her, and I felt like that was the only way that I could, you know, every other chat server she was invisible on, right? So, like, and I think a lot of it is right place, right time, right branding, you know.
Virality. It's the same thing as a viral video, and it's very hard to bottle.
Yeah,
right? To me, it's like Mark Pincus's company, right? It seemed to own the world, and then not so much.
That's the problem with virality. What goes up must come down.
Exactly. Well, let's go back to whatchamacallit. What was the original Israeli chat company bought by AOL? Thank you very much.
ICQ.
ICQ. Right. So whatever ICQ happened to them? The first deal like this. You go to ICQ, it still exists. Last I looked, it still has that nice little pretty flower.
In a case of something like WhatsApp, it's the network effect. It's what made Facebook a success. It's that your friends start using it, so you use it. So it's a snowball that gets bigger and bigger.
Yep.
And it's like lightning in a bottle. I don't know if you can codify rules for virality.
ICQ.com, just for the historical purpose of it, ICQ, folks, was bought by AOL early on. It was kind of, in a way, it was the first big networky, webby, internet-y.
It was a daisy icon, right?
It's a daisy icon. Yeah. If you go to ICQ.com, it's still up, right? Free calls for everywhere, ICQ for map. It was a chat app. That's all it was.
It's not, by the way, it's not AOL anymore.
Well, that's right. They sold it, didn't they?
Yeah, it's a Russian company.
That's right. Well, it was one of the things that Armstrong got rid of.
Yeah.
But, you know, ICQ was going to take over the world, was the whole world, was everything in its day.
By the way, breaking news just coming in from the New York Times, Nick Bilton writing about it. Facebook acquiring WhatsApp for $16 billion.
Does he say anything new?
Wall Street Journal. So this is interesting because, you know, I have breaking news on my Android. The Journal got it at 2:12. We got it about at the same time Bloomberg or Business Week published it, which was about 2:15, 2:10, something like that. Breaking news. No, it's the same. 2:23 for Nick Bilton. I love that.
Ben Evans tweeted that Facebook paid about $35 per active user for WhatsApp.
Jeez.
And its own valuation is about $180 per monthly active user.
Facebook.
So if you look at it that way, right, Facebook. So if you look at it that way, they got a deal.
Well, but those, how was the overlap, Gina? And then they're double paying for most of every one of those users.
Yeah, how much overlap is there? I don't know.
Who on WhatsApp is not on Facebook? I'm sorry. They're all there.
It's got to be.
Not in the U.S., but maybe in other nations.
Yeah, I mean, someone else was tweeted, Matthew Ingram retweeted, you know, WhatsApp is a de facto SMS in many countries, right? So, you know, this is about spreading beyond the U.S.
I think that's a lot of it. I think it has to be a lot of it.
So what do you say to this if you're Verizon or a phone company?
Maybe that's who the threat was from. Because SMS is very profitable for them, but it's dying anyway.
They have to cannibalize that.
They know it's dying. Hey, if you are in a market where you don't have gigabit internet access, good news. This is, to me, a huge surprise, going to add new cities, or at least investigate adding new cities to Google Fiber. I had really thought that this was just
the Mason-Dixon line.
A demo. Well, I thought they were just kind of saying, oh, let's show what's possible. They launched in Kansas City, then in Provo and Austin. But now they're investigating Portland, San Jose, Salt Lake City, Phoenix, San Antonio, Nashville, Atlanta, Charlotte, and Raleigh-Durham.
Look around Atlanta there. There's lots of dots around Atlanta.
Yeah, it's the Atlanta Metro. Raleigh-Durham makes sense, too, for the same reason. These are the actual areas.
I would love to see. Hey, folks, chat room, look at those markets and tell me who the cable companies are who are major in those markets.
Ah, interesting.
Who are they going after?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think
Are they Comcast markets? Are they secondary markets that Google can win in?
San Jose is a Comcast market. That would include Santa Clara, Mountain View, of course.
Atlanta is probably
Sunnyvale and Palo Alto.
I'm not sure if Atlanta's Cox or not. I don't know.
Portland.
It's so weird.
San Antonio's Time Warner Cable and AT&T, according to our chat room. Nashville is Comcast. Phoenix is Cox.
Cox.
Portland is Comcast and Charter.
Because what's always said, I used to work on the side of the cable business, and what was always all the deal making there is to get clusters that work together efficiently. And so there's trading of systems that go on. So the more you can cluster, the better off you are economically.
That's exactly what they did in the Bay Area. They have Comcast has a fiber loop around the Bay Area, and they bought all of the regional cables that were there to make it 100%. And that regionality is what makes it economical.
Right.
So it would make sense. I mean, if you look at Atlanta, there's a whole bunch of suburbs, Avondale Estates, Brookhaven.
So, but Google's not doing that. Google's going scattershot across the country. Are they trying to go into every cable company's backyard to say, nya, nya, nya?
No, I don't think so.
I don't know.
This seems like it's a business. You're right. Mason-Dixon line heavy, south of the Mason-Dixon line heavy. Although there's Portland, Salt Lake City, and San Jose, but the rest of it is in the south. And these are, by the way, not guaranteed. These are potential. So what they're doing, as they did with Kansas City, is they're asking these communities to step forward and get involved.
Be nice.
Be nice. Boy, I'd love to be on that list of cities.
Oh, so would I. Well, and then there's another story in there that even as they do, this is gigabyte, right?
Yeah, gigabit, yeah.
Gigabit, I mean. Google is developing and testing 10 gigabit cable.
Right. So does this mean that this is more than just a, here's what it should be, cable companies shape up? This sounds like they're going into this as a business now.
It's a business. B, it's a serious threat to an industry that needs a threat. I only wish they would have do the same thing with telephone carriers, but they're not going to do that.
Why not? They had a chance, and they didn't.
And they just got out of the phone business.
Yeah. But you could be a carrier without making phones.
Yeah, but it's the other carriers they depend upon for sales and distribution.
So what they say is, we'll be working closely with the mayors and staff from each of these 34 cities. We'll walk through details about the Google study and about the fiber-ready checklist, and we'll answer any questions they have. After that, we'll be working closely with the cities over the next few months as we work on our study and they work on their checklist. Then the competed checklist items will be due to us May 1st. It's not clear if they'll all be selected or not. Google does say the process will take some time, but we hope to know by the end of 2014 which cities are going to get it. These cities are led by people who have been working hard to bring faster internet speeds and the latest technologies to their residents. I wonder if, remember when we were all campaigning for Google Fiber? If these are the next best cities, I don't know. We believe these are communities who will do amazing things with a gig. And they're diverse, not just geographically, but in the ways they'll give us opportunities to learn about the wide range of challenges and obstacles that communities might face in trying to build a new fiber network.
So how far would $16 billion take you in building this fiber?
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question.
That is a good question.
Google has more than $60 billion in cash.
What did Verizon invest in Fios?
I was told 5,000 per subscriber, so many hundreds of millions of dollars. Let me see if we can find a number.
23 billion.
Oh, hello.
Well, so you're in the spitting range.
Remember that Google makes money in a lot of ways from this, and you know,
exactly.
Lately there's been a great push, and I've been run over the coals for defending Google. Both on Twit this week, on Security Now, there is this growing anti-Google, Google is evil movement. I think these people are going to say, yeah, Google just wants to become your ISP so they can know more and more and more.
Get your end-to-end internet experience,
witness,
right?
Yes. The New York Times story about Google Plus, right? They're presuming venal motives.
Right. I really fear that this is becoming a drumbeat that's going to be
I do too.
Very strong.
Yeah, it feels like that's one of Google's biggest challenges going forward. It's not the technology, it's the people.
I think you're right, Gina, and I don't think they know it fully.
No, unfortunately, they don't. They're really good at a lot of things. But yeah, I don't know what they do to fix the problem, the creepy problem. The feeling of, I'm being watched. But every new product, it feels like that's the...
In the book about Amazon, Brad Stone writing about Jeff Bezos talks about, at the very end of the book, he talks about a list Jeff Bezos made. As he sent out a memo called Amazon.love. And the list he made is of attributes of companies that are loved versus attributes of companies that are hated or feared. He actually included Google at the time of the writing in the companies that are loved and Microsoft in the companies that are hated and feared.
Yeah. I think that's generally still accurate for
but it's
the mass
shifting.
Of people. But media has certainly shifted to hostility here and in Europe.
And he was really, it's really interesting to read this because here's a guy who's very analytical and very thoughtful about this stuff, trying to figure out, it's just like trying to figure out what makes something go viral. What makes a company loved versus a company that's not loved? Is it that
I gotta tell you. Go ahead, Leo. Sorry.
No, please.
I was going to say Microsoft, I don't think, do people care enough about Microsoft to fear them? I mean, in order to love or fear anything, you have to not be indifferent. I think that there's an indifference, I don't know, amongst...
Well, that's what, in the memo, Bezos said. He said, why don't Microsoft's hundreds of millions of users support Microsoft against attacks? They don't. They don't have any, there's a few, and I know this because we hear from them all the time, Microsoft fanboys. But in general, Microsoft's user base is indifferent to Microsoft.
And that hasn't always been the case. I mean, you know, people used to line up for the new version of Windows. I mean, you know, people the Microsoft discussion was heated. I mean, it was a much bigger thing. And I think that Google is moving toward, shifting from the company that you love toward a company maybe you fear. I mean, Amazon is a company you love because they bring you the things that you need to your door, right? I mean, that's pretty straightforward. And Google's products are amazing, and I'm to the point where I couldn't live without them. But there is a creeping, even for me, who is very informed and talks about this every week, I think like, could I go Google free? I don't know that I could at this point.
Well, and as I said recently, I am completely Apple free except for Skype. The only reason I'm still on a Microsoft product or an Apple product is you.
Don't look at me, because those products work.
it's your whining about Hangouts.
Well, those work. here is from the book. Here's what Bezos wrote. Rudeness. So he talked about cool and not cool. That some things are cool, customers consider cool, Apple, Whole Foods, Costco, Nike, and Google. Others get piled on rather than defended if things go badly. Think Microsoft, Goldman Sachs, ExxonMobil, and Walmart. He says, the things that are cool, young, risk-taking, winning, polite, defeating bigger, unsympathetic guys, inventing, explorers. These things are all what Google is right now, right? Empowering others. Leadership, conviction, straightforwardness. That's something Google could do. I think they do very well, but continue to do. He says pandering to the crowd is not cool. Hypocrisy is not cool. Authenticity is cool. Thinking big is cool. Unexpected is cool.
Trust is cool.
Trust is really going to be the big one for Google. He does, there is no trust on this list, which there ought to be.
Humanity is the word that comes to mind for me. And I guess that dovetails with authenticity. There's some products, and glass comes to mind particularly. Like there's a little bit of a sense that Google's a cold bot who's very efficient and very good at what it does, right? But there's I think humanity is attribute.
And if you break down humanity, I think you're right, Gina. I think if you break down humanity. I mean, in a sense, the problem for Google is that they've given you all this great free stuff, and then we say, okay, now what are you doing for us?
Right. And they want to drive your car for you.
Incredible free services, maps and mail and all this stuff is unbelievable for free. And it's, what have you done for me lately? And so you need some human connection there, I think.
Yeah, why are you giving this for free? Yeah, I'm from Brooklyn. You want something from me. You're giving me something. I'm thinking that you need something in return. What's the catch? Hey, what's the catch? Hey. Exactly. But also, Zucks, you know, they want to drive your cars and they want to get everybody online. They want everybody online. They want to put, you know, a screen in front of your face. I think that the perception about those things, even though they're highly efficient, I'm totally sold on the benefits of a self-driving car, but it feels, I think, to people like, you know, taking the humans out of life.
That's what Google needs to do more than anything else, I think, is communicate why they want, you know, what's the deal? Why do you want this? What are you doing with it? Communicate, be honest, tell me what it is. So I can
let's remember back to conversations we had on the show about a year ago where we all said we trust Google, we kind of don't trust Facebook. Now, right now, Facebook just spent $16 billion to buy users. And I haven't heard yet of, what's Facebook up to? Right? I'm not hearing that.
Oh, I don't know. I think about that a lot.
Right. I know I do, but not right today with this announcement. By the way, Zucks, I just put it up in the rundown. Zucks' announcement is up on his.
Let me find that.
You can opt out of Facebook. And I know that's not true for everybody, but for us.
No, the argument a year ago, Gina, was you couldn't. The argument a year ago, and Schmidt made, was that you could opt out of every single Google service. You could use Bing. You could use Hotmail. You could use all these other services. But if your friends were on Facebook, you couldn't opt out of Facebook. What's changed, I think, is that your friends aren't all on Facebook anymore. They're everywhere.
Yeah, that's true. I guess for me, like, I can dip into Facebook once a week, once every couple of weeks, and catch up with who I want
and
then come out
of
it.
Right?
Google is a part of the fabric of every single interaction I have on the web, on every web page with Google Analytics, or every Google product, Gmail. I mean, and you know, what I've opted into, I realize that I can, you know, run my own IMAP server, email server, sure. But you know, I went for the convenience. Kind of rolling
you
up my sleeves.
Depend upon it. What I'm hearing you say is you depend upon Google, and that
very much like a utility. Yeah.
So there's a vulnerability there. Yeah. That you need. They need to understand and deal with. They need to reassure you. Oh, they need to go over the top reassuring you because you are so dependent upon them. As am I.
Yeah. Yeah, because I that whole thing. Oh, you could use Bing. You could just incognito window. You could I don't know. It doesn't. It kind of rings hollow for me at this point. I mean, I guess I could use Bing. I've been using DuckDuckGo for quite some time. I often switch over to Google.
I have to use Gmail. I have to use Google Maps and Waze. I couldn't use alternatives to those things.
Right. I'm
on Drive.
Yeah, Drive. I've become really.
I'm on Android. I'd rather be on Android than iOS. I'm certainly ain't going to go to BlackBerry.
I could run pure Android AOSP. You know, right? Like I could run
for
just Android without the Play Store and everything else, right? But it would be a completely different thing.
Yeah.
I, for one,
welcome my new master.
I feel like, in a way, I just want to relax.
Just invite me to I.O.
I just want to relax and let it.
Let go, let Google. We got a show title right there.
Just take me, Google.
Beam me to your island.
Because I think a lot of people, probably rightly, especially in the last week, have accused me of not paying attention to the threat posed by Google. What O'Malik talked about on Sunday on Twit was, maybe now they're harmless, but at what point does this switch where they just, and then there's nothing you can do?
Well, but you could say that about...
He says they're too big. No company should be allowed to be this big.
I hate that argument. I just despise that argument. Then fine, show me the statute that says big enough, too big.
No, it maybe he's not statutory, but he says with power, you know, absolute power corrupts, absolutely. The bigger a company gets, the more powerful it gets. Inevitably, it will get corrupted. And there just is a natural size the company should not go beyond. There's no statutory. This is not a law, but it might be a law of nature.
It has to do with other factors. It's not size alone.
Can a company not be too big?
So what are we going to tell Google not to do? Sorry, you can't do maps anymore. Well, if it can't do maps, then it can't. No.
You can't. I'm not saying the government now has to come in and say Google's too big, but users could very reasonably say, I'm not sure I want to really continue to support this company because they have gotten to be a behemoth and they have too much of my information.
The answer to it, even for users' sake, I don't think is size. So they stopped doing some functions. That means it doesn't work as well. I mean, I want maps to tie to my Nest, to tie to my mail, to tie to my Google.
Well,
Now,
the Nest is the one that really, I think the Nest is the one that actually put people over the top, oddly enough.
But I think it goes.
People say, then now Google knows when I'm home. Like, yes, so?
Yeah, and I want that. But I think
well,
it goes
they know
Gina
anyway, because if
about.
Your Android phone has your location anyway.
Anyway. I think that Google's, you know, and I was there on Friday, and every time I'm there, I come away only more enthusiastic about the company because they're so friggin' smart. And some would say, it's the problem. They're too smart. They're too big. They're too smart.
Yeah, too big, too smart.
No, it's but what the conversation
you're starting Gina to sound said. Like Ayn Rand, and this is objectivism, you know. Hey, they're successful, they're big, let them run the world because they are good at it.
Well, the same thing could be said about Americans.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. We've blown that, haven't we?
That's true. All right, let me read Mark Zuckerberg's statement. We're going to take a break. We've got a lot more, including the Google changelog coming up. But boy, as always on this show, we just get in these great conversations. This has become the philosophic heart of the Twit Network. And I like it.
Oh, wow.
Oh, it really is.
The thumb sucker. What's this week in thumbs?
No, I think we talk about big stories here. Mark Zuckerberg, by the way, I would love to be able to write a post on Facebook and 30 minutes later have 98,000 likes. No, I'm sorry, 95. Well, maybe not.
I don't know.
He does have 20.
Every single one of his words is parsed and analyzed.
He does have 25 million followers. I'm excited to announce we've agreed to acquire WhatsApp, and their entire team will be joining us at Facebook. He says they will stay. The team product roadmap will remain unchanged. This team will stay in Mountain View. WhatsApp will continue to operate independently within Facebook. Facebook Messenger will continue. Facebook Messenger, he says, is widely used for chatting with your Facebook friends. WhatsApp for communicating with all your contacts and small groups of people. Since WhatsApp and Messenger serve such different and important uses, we will continue investing in both and making them each great products for everyone. Credible?
That makes less sense to me then. If you're not going to integrate the two,
what do you get?
You just spent.
They did that with Instagram.
You spend that much money, you can do with it whatever you want. It's your.
They did that with Instagram. But what you're saying is we're not gonna play on the synergy. We're just gonna run it.
Eventually, they're gonna integrate it.
Eventually,
when everyone's memory everyone's memory is short, in a few years down the road, they'll start to integrate it.
He says more than 1 million people currently sign up for WhatsApp every day. I bet today 2 million might sign up. I just downloaded it again. I had removed it.
Unfortunately, there's no Davos party, so I'm not getting anything new on it.
The process, by the way, of signing up, let's run through it real quickly, of signing up for WhatsApp is actually very simple. You download it. You'll give it your phone number, which I will do off the air. Not that it really matters. All the people who hate me already have my phone number. And then I don't even remember my phone number, so I think that's right. And then it will send you a text message to verify. Apparently, WhatsApp gets permission to read your text messages, much like Facebook does, and will automatically detect the SMS coming in, read it, and say, okay, got it. And then
I had not approved that update, by the way, Leo.
Did you? Really?
I had not. Yeah, I had not. Yeah. After the show, I went and saw that it was one of the ones that needed new permission. Anyway, carry on.
carry on.
By the way, might mention that this is poor timing. There are four, according to Panda Labs, four Android apps that are malware. And what they do is they sign you up for paid SMS services. One of them, for instance, is how to lose weight, you know, on your belly or something. It's in Spanish, so I couldn't read it exactly. And then it signs you up for an SMS service, gives you a quick okay, and you say okay. These are very expensive paid SMS services, and the reason it can instantly validate you is it goes and it looks in the WhatsApp listing, the public WhatsApp listing, which has your phone number in there, and it can do that apparently by looking at your WhatsApp information. So WhatsApp is actually a security hole.
I don't find Leo Laporte on my WhatsApp.
Well, I'm signing up right now. List.
Oh, is that it? I don't find Junior Trapani on here either.
I've been there. You don't?
I've been there.
Oh, you know, it depends what phone really number of mine you have. That's probably
Oh, right. It's Pedro's phone number. That's right. It was several phones
ago. Why do I never call you?
Let me do a different phone number. I wonder, can I use...
I now, here's a question. Can I, Junior Trapani.
Can I use my Google Voice number, which would be the best number to use?
So if I want to talk to Gina...
I think it has to be your native number.
I think so.
So, Gina, if I want to talk to you, I just search for you and I don't find you by name. I have to know your phone number?
Here's Chad. He's a young person.
Right.
Let's find out what he does.
Thank you.
So you can use your Google Voice number.
Okay. It worked.
Yeah, it'll send you a text, but sometimes it doesn't automatically notice the text. If that happens, it'll give you a call and you'll write down six characters.
So that worked. So I gave it my Google Voice and it now says, please provide your name and an optional photo. It knows my name, of course.
Now, you're already on here, Leo, under some other number. It says that at the moment you're sleeping.
I know, because you can also do a status update. So let me just do a quick WhatsApp picture. There we go. I went the wrong way.
You hit home.
I'm a moron. Instead of taking. A moron and a half. Let's do that again. How do I take a picture? Oh, yeah. All right. There's my WhatsApp. You always want it to be clever and creative. And
really show off your best attitude.
Really show off your best side. There you go. Right. And that's it. Next. And now it's going to go. You get a free year of service. And after that, it's 99 cents a year. And you know, it doesn't really ask you for anything. It just kind of goes out there and gets everything out of your phone book and fires away. So it's very easy. I think that's one of the reasons a million people a year sign up for this thing. Hey, let's take a break. And when we come back, the Google Changelogger show today brought to you by Shutterstock Images. Lisa just started a new blog, and she was saying it last night. She said, I love Shutterstock. Whenever we want to do a blog post, we like to have images as part of our blog post. Shutterstock is a source of great royalty-free images, illustrations, vectors, video clips, over 30 million of them right now, very affordable. You can try it for free, by the way. And they have a great app, Android and iPad app, which is just almost like one of those just great, gorgeous photo apps. But they have the fantastic search engine, which lets you search not only for nouns, but for adjectives and nouns. So you can search for happy hippos, cranky hippos, blue hippos. It is just a fantastic system. You can sign up for free. You don't need to give them a credit card. And that means you'll be able to search for images and save images into a light box so you can share them with others. But you can also buy packages of images or do what we do. We have the subscription, 25 images a day, which is great for a company. They add 20,000 images every day, so there's always something new, each reviewed individually for content and quality. I just love Shutterstock, and I'm multilingual. It's truly international with service and support in more than a dozen countries full-time throughout the week. Don't forget to click the footage tab. We also have a footage subscription because we use it. In fact, this is fun. We use it a lot during our shows to do matte images and so forth. There's always a free featured clip. I am a big fan. I want you to try Shutterstock. We actually have a good deal for you. Start the account. You don't need a credit card to do that. But if you decide to purchase images, use the offer code TWIG214. That's for February 2014, obviously. TWIG214. And you'll get 25% off any package, including the subscription package, which makes it a very good deal. TWIG214 at Shutterstock.com. And now, break out the drums. It's time for the Google Changelog.
The Google Changelog.
It's the trumpets, then the drums.
Sorry. Here's Gina Trapani.
If you're a big Google Sheets user, not as in like bedsheets, but spreadsheets.
Those are 600 thread count sheets.
They know how you're sleeping.
Egyptian cotton sheets.
They know how you're sleeping.
They know when you're awake.
You'll notice a link on the bottom right of your current spreadsheets, Google Spreadsheets and Google Drive, that says try the new Google Sheets. An update to the app, which you have to opt into in your settings, lets you edit spreadsheets while offline, which is very nice, scrolls and loads faster, and has other new features for spreadsheet users, like new filter views, easier to use formulas, advanced conditional formatting. You can't convert existing spreadsheets to the new version, which, by the way, I tried to do to Twig's rundown today but failed. But you can opt into the new sheets for any new spreadsheets that you make going forward.
Cool.
Doesn't look very different, just acts different, and just scrolls better, is faster, and works offline, which is kind of nice. The new Google Maps, which I had forgotten was new because I've been trying it for, I've been breathing it for a long time now. This is the new Google Maps that Google announced at the I.O. Developer Conference. That has been in preview mode this whole time. Well, it's coming out of preview. You know, you used to be able to switch back and forth from classic to the new mode. The new mode is now becoming the default. It'll be the default PC Google Maps experience going forward. And finally, and I haven't actually gotten this on my phone yet, but Google's added detailed transit schedules to the Google Search app on Android. So if you have the update and you tap the microphone on your Google Search app and you say, from New York City to Boston by train, for example, Google will display detailed information for schedules and fares, the requested destination, and a countdown timer that'll show you how long until the next train or bus.
That's awesome.
It's kind of nice. And if the train gets delayed, there's a maintenance issue or an accident, you'll see a status result, a status alert in the results, much like Google Maps now alerts you if there's a faster route while you're en route. This feature, I think, is limited to users in the U.S. And like I said, I tried it on my phone. I haven't gotten the update yet. I tried from New York City to Boston by train and didn't get it, but just seeing Google Search getting a little smarter, it must be rolling out little by little. That's all I got. Pretty short changelog today.
Now the drums. That's the changelog.
All right, Leo, my friend Josh Benton on Twitter, I saw there's already a WhatsApp commercial. It's in the rundown. I put it in the chat.
Is this real or?
Just
all right, all right.
Uh-oh.
Hello?
What's that?
Yo, who's that?
What's that?
Yo, it's Dave.
Truth.
Hello?
What's that?
What's that?
What's that? Yo, it's Dave.
That still makes me laugh.
It's still a great commercial.
It is.
What's that? That's not the original one, but that's I hadn't seen that's that one. That's good.
That's a good one. There's also guy. Not that we want to keep on going, but right above that in that chat is Getz's description of why it's worth this much money. It's a very good post from
Bernard Getz, the Subway
Jim Getz from Sequoia.
Okay.
This company has only 32 engineers.
Yikes. That's because it's really I mean, Gina, am I wrong? This is a trivial application.
This is not about it's not about the technology of the code. This is not a difficult. I mean, look, this application certainly has some serious scaling issues. But
that's non-trivial. You're right.
Yeah. Yes, but nine months ago, it had 200 million active users. Now it has 450 million.
Yeah,
72%.
The network engineers are good. I wonder though, what does it run on? Does it run? Maybe it runs on Amazon services. Maybe it's not. Maybe they're not.
It's interesting.
It's Erlang. It's built in Erlang.
Erlang. Nice.
That's why only 32 engineers. No one understands Erlang.
They're all from Erlangia.
They can't find anybody. Everybody that knows Erlang.
No, that is Erlang is. Tell us about Erlang. Do you know anything about Erlang?
I
it's
don't.
A functional. Is not. I think it's a functional language. It's very popular among a certain group of nerds.
Yeah, it's got a kind of a cult.
Yeah. It's a general-purpose concurrent garbage-collected programming language and runtime system, according to Wikipedia. Designed originally, I did not know this, by Ericsson. This is one of the reasons it scales, because it's distributed and supports hot swapping. So you can – this is actually probably a perfect language for this particular application. Erlang is a reference to a Danish mathematician and engineer that no one's ever heard of. So there you go.
It's the language doesn't matter either.
No, I'm really disappointed, but it helps with scaling. Helps with scaling.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
They have 99.9% uptime, and that's another reason users love them. They just don't go down. 50 billion with a B messages a day across 7 platforms. I'm not sure what that means. That sounds like they're aggregating perhaps Rackspace and Amazon and Azure and
no, that means seven platforms. That means the
seven host platforms. Okay, yeah, yeah.
No,
clients
like clients. Android.
Yeah.
Windows. Yeah. Android, iOS.
WhatsApp does not collect personal information. That may change. Registration is authenticated with a phone number. Once delivered, messages are deleted from WhatsApp's servers. Wow. They had grown to dislike their time at Yahoo, so that's why they hate ads so much. They didn't like targeted ads, so they charged a buck.
Costs more than a buck to run that per user to run that server. Well,
a
not
year,
at that
buck
scale.
A year.
But initially,
this is YouTube again. They don't. Did they have a business model? They didn't have any business model.
So Jan grew up in Russia. Under the Soviets. He arrived in the U.S. as a 16-year-old immigrant living on food stamps with the extra incentive of wanting to stay in touch with his family in Russia and the Ukraine. His mentor was Brian at Yahoo, and that's when he began to build WhatsApp.
Well, that's a good story.
Yeah. I'm really curious what the network platform is. God, Sequoia's got to be happy.
An
$8 million investment. You guys work for Sequoia? They're nodding. Yeah. Party at Sequoia tonight, baby.
One WhatsApp dev supports 14 million active users, a ratio unheard of in the industry, says Sequoia's tweet.
Now, that's incredible.
They were so anxious to shun the spotlight, there isn't even a WhatsApp sign outside their offices in Mountain View.
It's like the secret Japanese restaurant that's there.
Yeah. Wow. You know, having used WhatsApp for a long time, and I don't really have a compelling use case. That's probably why I don't use it. It is easy, straightforward. It just works. It's reliable. Do you use a chat on a regular basis?
No, not on a regular basis. But you know, it's one of those products that every once in a while you find that niche for a weekend or a convention or something like that.
Yeah, so like Davos. Every time I'm at Davos, right. I use WhatsApp.
Right. Yeah.
I'm going to quote I emailed my son Jake. And I said, "Do you use it much?" I didn't email him. I WhatsApped him.
Ah.
And I said, "Do you use it much?" He said, "Not much, just for group messages. Definitely not worth 16 Instagrams."
Now, you'll like this, Gina, on their WhatsApp.com/open source page. They contribute back into the Erlang project, which is open source, FreeBSD, JQ Grid, which is an Ajax-enabled JavaScript control. Lib phone number, that's Google's common Java, C++, and JavaScript library for phone numbers.
Yeah, they probably got the most phone numbers
of
anybody.
Light OpenID, a PHP 5 library for OpenID authentication. They use Light, I don't know how you would say this, Light TTPD. That's the web server they use. That's a very popular, lightweight web server. PHP.
How much cash does Twitter have? Could
and
Twitter
buy them? Oh, no.
No.
No, I doubt it. Even with their very successful
IPO,
I doubt they'd have $16 billion to throw around.
It doesn't seem like it would be the right fit for Twitter.
If you read Zuck's post, the implication was a lot of people were courting WhatsApp. He says, I can't remember the exact words, but they had
WhatsApp
lot of choices.
WhatsApp had every option in the world, every so I'm thrilled that they chose to work with us.
Yeah. He did know. He says we were friends. Jan and I were friends.
Yeah.
Certainly doesn't
Maybe they walked up the mountain, that famous old story.
All this someday will be yours, except for that part there. That's Steve Jobs. And that part over there, that's Eric's. But everything else is yours, my son. Google Tracker. This is put together by Ron Amadeo at Ars Technica. This is a useful thing. All the projects we know Google is working on this year. Yeah.
A lot of pages.
I love Ron and I love ours. I don't love that there's like this article is six pages.
It could just be a list.
It could just be a list.
Well, okay. I'm just going to tell you, if you really love ours, you could subscribe, which I am. And then unfortunately it uses Flash to show the subscribers link and I don't have Flash. It's out of date on this machine. But then you can get it all in one page or as a PDF, which I will do.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's worth, you know, I couldn't figure out why should I give Condé Nast $60 a year. But ours is so good.
Yeah, ours is great.
It's worth supporting. The Q is still in this list, by the way. But that's because the Q might have given way to a console set-top box. We've been hearing rumors about that. This would be the crib sheet for going to Google I.O. Why don't I make a bingo sheet of all of this? And when we go to Google I.O., we can... get those stampers with the...
Or no, just all the possible categories that they can hit on. And,
exactly. God, there's so much stuff. Google says how not to be a glass hole. Have you read this, Jeff?
Yeah. Yes. When I was with this wonderful woman, Anna Richardson, a really charming woman who does comms for them, who sat at the lunch to make sure that we didn't punch each other last week, told me about this was coming out, and they went to the explorers and discussed this. Very smart use. In fact, I argued to them that they should have done the same thing about the frames. But they should be use Google Plus as an example of how companies should reach out and interact. So they went to Google Plus, they went to the Explorers groups there, and they discussed, you know, let's start talking about the norms here. And this does go to this trust question in a way.
Yeah,
Google should take a lead role in these kinds of trust issues and say, hello, folks, don't be an idiot. Even though I think it's very close to insulting us to say, well, I know I don't take it into the bathroom, Nick Bilton, and take a picture of your junk.
You might wear it, though. A lot of people do. I would say put it up on your head.
Well, then I'm going to miss the urinal because I got bad sight, Leo.
Oh, it's your glasses. See, we can't do that now anymore, can we?
Yes, yes.
Oh, dear.
I'm going to cross streams. That'd be very bad.
No.
No, that's not bad. That's kind of fun. It's called sword fighting. And Gina does not want to know anything more.
No. Mute. I'm pressing the end button, but this is not.
Stop. You're just jealous.
Oh, God. You have envy, Gina. Admit it.
I have envy of higher salaries and
that's reasonable. You should
and
have
testosterone right. fueled strength. Yes, there are some.
So anyway, I think it was a good.
I apologize.
This isn't perfect, but it's a good thing. I apologize.
No, it's fine.
What were we talking about? I'm completely.
We were talking about
glass holes. Let's show. There's
we
a video,
don't
isn't
glass
there?
To be assholes.
Yeah.
So anyway.
I never thought that I said this on All About Android last night. I never thought I'd see the word glass hole on an official glass.
I didn't think they acknowledged the existence of the word.
But yeah, no. So kudos to them for claiming a word.
They're saying don't use this word. I mean, don't be a glass hole.
They're saying you can use the word, and you deserve to be called a glass hole if you do these things.
Although they did use the word creepy, Jeff. Don't be creepy.
That bothers me. Well, I think they're trying to say don't be creepy, but that's fine.
Yeah, they're saying don't be creepy.
You know, it's okay because they defined creepy. They said this is creepy and don't be it.
Right.
That's an okay use of creepy.
Do you not like the word creepy?
I hate it when it's just used as a generic, that's creepy, and people aren't defining what it is.
Right.
Right. It's, Google, you know, Google knows where you go to work every day. That's creepy. No, it's not. You told them, and you get directions from them. What's wrong
with
that?
I can't define creepy, but I know when I see it.
No, that's not good enough, bud.
No?
Not letting you get away with that. Nope. Because people are starting to try to regulate and legislate to this amorphous notion of creepy.
Right.
It's taken Europe where Google's creepy. Well, what the hell does that mean?
Right.
Now, speaking of not so, well, maybe you'll find this creepy. Also on the list right there is Anna from Glass sent this to me, the marriage proposals via Google Glass.
That's not creepy. That's sweet.
Well, take a look at it. You might. Some people would find it creepy.
All right, let me.
I think it's sweet. It's very sweet.
Let me pull up the link. Here we go. This is on YouTube, and so Glass lets you record video. You'd have to say it ahead of time, and presumably people would know that you were. Well, let's see. Let's watch. Let's see. Is there audio?
Yes, there should be.
Oh, you know what? You're going to have to do it, Chad, because I have issues. Wait a minute. Let me see if I can fix that. Here, I think I can. Let's try it. Let me try it. We'll do it again. Yeah, you're getting it now. Okay. Let me rewind so we see all the...
I'm about to be foolish. Please don't. All these years...
They're both glasses. Wearers.
Waiting for this time.
Oh.
Trail.
Leo's soft side.
I got you a pen.
Okay.
This only, wait a minute, I'm going to pause this. This only works. No, I guess he's okay. So sometimes
He can have glass. In some of these cases,
the bride has to be has Listen, glass.
If they both have glass, they should marry because they're not going to find the couple that weird.
The
on
The first couple both had orange glass, which really means they belong together.
They have to marry each other. There's a law.
So here's a guy wearing glass. This is not creepy, but kind of dorky. Wearing glass, proposing in a restaurant.
Come here, kitty.
This is the best one.
I don't know how well it'll turn out, but.
So they're cutting out the best parts.
Well, you're getting to it.
Oh, I see. Tip of your new dreads to this your is cute, actually.
Pretty painted toes.
Let's start our adventure together.
I've known that I wanted to spend my life with you since before we started dating.
So
before we started dating, that's
Marie Carroll.
How do you know that?
Marry me?
Yes.
What do you mean?
Yes.
We can live happily ever after, if you're okay with that.
Can we go get him? Let's go get him.
Are you married?
I want to ask you.
He's on his knees now.
Marry me.
Aww.
Aww,
are they in a makerspace? What is that?
That's the glass.
Were they picking up their glass?
Oh, they were getting their glass.
They were getting their glass. Yeah.
Oh. He said, "Can I record?"
Yeah, that's how they both had it. I bet they. Yeah. Oh. They might not have even owned glass. They were just trying it on.
They should now.
Yeah.
I don't think they've given it free to anybody. Those two people should get it for free.
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. All right.
It would have been better if the dog were wearing glass, but okay. Do they have glass for dogs yet? Because I would get that.
I'm kind of excited to get Etta wearing glass.
What?
See what her perspective is like.
Baby glass?
I don't know. Kind of fun to see the world from 3 feet.
There is a Kickstarter project right now. I forget the name of it. Somebody emailed me.
A dog with glass.
Yes.
It works.
There's a Kickstarter project to use what are the cameras called that are used for
GoPros?
GoPro.
So a bunch of kids GoPro. So you get to see the playground in their lives from a kid's perspective.
Oh, that's neat.
See, this is the problem. When I did that, I was at the Google Strategy Group, right? If I want any job in the world, it's to work at the Google Strategy Group. You really see the future. So I'm talking to the whole strategy group at Google, and I forgot something like that a minute ago. And I said to them all, who were all very young, I said, "Don't get old." And one of the guys, without missing a beat, said, "We're working on that."
Ooh, wow.
Boy. See, now I'm interested. And I would give all of everything I got to the Google for overlords if they would
extend my life. Comic timing I've seen this
I'm working on it.
That's a good moment.
Yikes. There are a lot of GoPro proposals, by the way. Steve Perlman, we know the name, creator of Web TV, right? Yep. And Moxie. What else he's done a lot of interesting things. He's been working on a wireless broadband technology called P-Cell. He's the guy who did On Live, right? And that, sold it.
Yep. And what was it? Andreessen was singing his praises.
Yeah. Brilliant guy. P-Cell will enable, according to Perlman, full-speed wireless broadband to every mobile device, regardless of how many users are using the same spectrum. The startup is Artemis Networks. They've been working apparently for a long time on this. P-Cell will enable mobile data users to enjoy fast internet with no congestion, dead zones, weak signals. I wonder if it's a spread spectrum. He says you'll feel like you're on fiber.
The explanation from the New York Times today was that companies can't put cells too close together because they conflict.
Right.
And what this technology does is make that an advantage, and it passes off in smarter ways. And you don't have to change your phone; you will still be able to use it on your same phone.
Yeah, because it's on LTE.
Right. So you know. So a lot here's of excitement about this.
Here's Steve in his lab. There are six computers, all streaming high def video at the same time in the same space on a single cell site.
And we're going to show you that by using actual lab radios instead of using a LTE radio. That's a commercial.
Too bad his video is not streaming. See, I need P-Cell. It's frozen. It's 1080p video. I can't play it back.
Turn off certain things built into LTE, like, for example, error correction. So if there are any imperfections, you'll see them. because we want to show you them. All right? And you can see that each of these PCs back here.
All right. You know what? You're going to have to watch this yourself because I can't
Andreessen,
play it.
You know, considering the source, Andreessen on Twitter called him one of the greatest Silicon Valley tech geniuses of all time.
Well, this is his bid. If he can do this, apparently in his lab, he's shown iPhones playing back 4K Ultra HD versions of House of Cards. They're putting P-cell transmitters on 350 rooftops in San Francisco. And now, of course, they'd have to sign up other folks. I guess if it works, it won't have any trouble doing that.
See them, because we want to show you.
Oh, it works on your computer.
And you can see that each of these...
I got like an 800-year-old MacBook.
And these are tablet PCs.
Yeah, stop complaining, Leo.
I'm going to bring in my Pixel.
That allows us to go and be exactly...
Dennis Woodside, like the CEO of Motorola, has moved on to a Dropbox. He was a Googler for a long time. They assigned him to Motorola Mobility when they bought the company, and now he's going to be operating. First time they've had a CEO at Dropbox. And Peter Magnuson, former engineering director at Google, is now VP engineering at Snapchat, probably expecting a big exit any time now. Snapchat turned down $3 billion, right? Maybe they were holding out for $16. All right, we're going to wrap things up with tips, tools, numbers of the week in just a bit. Our show today brought to you by LegalZoom.com. LegalZoom is not a law firm. Better than that, they help you get your legal documents worked out just online. Because in most cases, you know what you need to know to do it yourself. And there are some things like starting a business or protecting your family with a will that have to be done. So LegalZoom lets you incorporate or form an LLC with their simple questionnaire starting at just $99. This is a great way to start a business. Chapter S, Chapter C Corps. You should also do your trademarks. LegalZoom will do trademarks for $169, and that's important. A lot of people, you know, have brands that they're building, but if they don't protect them, you know, they can be stolen from you. Do you have a last will? How about, you know, there's more advanced kinds of things like healthcare powers of attorney. A pet protection agreement. You can do real estate, wills, trusts, trademarks, business services, LegalZoom.com. They're not a law firm, but they can connect you with a third-party attorney. I love this. Their LegalZoom plan, legal plans, pre-negotiated flat rates, very affordable. Attorneys in almost every state. You can read their profiles and unedited reviews to choose the attorney that's right for you. From wills to business formations, trademarks, powers of attorney, and more, visit LegalZoom.com. I just have one little favor. When you check out, use the offer code TWIG. We'll take $10 off your bill, and they'll know you heard about it on This Week in Google. LegalZoom.com. Please use the offer code TWIG. A really great company that are empowering people all over the country to get started, start their own business. Let's get Gina's tip of the week.
Really cool Google search feature, which made a brief appearance last year and then went away, is back. It's the Google Timer. So
I used that the other day.
Yeah. I'll admit I'm a bit of a timer crazy person, particularly when I need to work on something that I'm procrastinating. I'll set a timer for 30 minutes and just make myself work on that thing.
Oh, you're obnoxious.
Just for
I love you, but you're obnoxious.
Oh, jeez. I know I am. I mean, and honestly, too, I've been trying to, like, estimate how many hours particular, like, engineering tasks are taking a think up. So then I try to time myself to see how close my estimates are. I know. I have a whole spreadsheet. But this timer feature is back. In order to set a timer in the search box, you just say set a timer for 30 seconds. And you'll see in the one box, a giant timer come up. You'll watch it kind of live countdown. Let's try it out.
This is so cool.
You can do set a timer for an hour and a half, set a timer for 30 seconds, timer 30 seconds. Yeah, there you go. So you got a 30-second timer counting down there. You can full screen it. So there's that button on the right. Yeah, if you go full screen, it's just a giant timer, which is actually really useful if you're doing presentations.
Could use this for students.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can use your time for your students.
Yeah.
In fact, Google, don't they project a timer up on the wall in certain meetings, certain big meetings where people are getting up and doing short presentations?
They did it at I.O. last year before the start of I.O., remember?
Sorry. Yeah. There you go. The timer just went off.
File's done.
Yep, and it defaults to 5 minutes. So if you just...
Make it stop. I'm going to wake up now from this all a dream.
How do I... Oh. You know what? The full screen has no OK button. Or maybe it did.
Oh, okay, there you go.
That was weird because I couldn't stop it. I didn't see it. Maybe I just didn't see it.
Full screen timer. So it defaults to 5 minutes. So if you do set a timer, it'll be 5 minutes. And you don't have to be as obnoxious as me. You can use it actually for presentations or for your students, Jeff.
That's cool.
Cool.
Does it work on mobile too?
Okay,
Google, now set a timer for 30 seconds. See, I think the problem is if I use Google Now, it will do it with the alarm application, right?
It sends it over to the alarm app, right?
See, that's no good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Google Now.
Just desktop.
Set a timer for 30 seconds.
Setting alarm for 3:18 p.m.
Yeah, it just sets an alarm. That's no good.
Yeah, and then it sends it off to the alarm app.
Whatever your default alarm app is, yeah. Okay, it's going to go off in a second. What else? Is that it? That's it.
Google timer. Oh. That's it.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, we give you a number.
The number this week. Well, by the way, Jake said to me then in WhatsApp that it's mainly international. And Rafat Ali, the founder of Skift and Paid Content, said that every one of his relatives in India is on WhatsApp. Oh, yeah. That's where this is big. But I'll use a different number. A new study from Ohio's Wright State University finds that one of every 13 tweets includes a curse word. Most of them, of course, mine.
And the rest of them have Justin Bieber in them.
Yes.
So
users swear the most on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays. Men swear more than women, though everyone swears more around their own gender. And F-bombs are far and away Twitter's curse word of choice.
That's not a curse word. That's
We have to build this thing up in sight.
That's an emphatic.
You do. A chart of naughty language usage exists. It's a Washington Post clip that's on there, Gina. So yes, I think you you have to instead of your usual cheery, "Hey, good for you," you're going to have a
no. F yeah.
Wash F, your yeah. laptop out with soap, young man.
F yeah. That's so funny that they swear more on Monday, Wednesday.
I guess you can't show the chart.
No, because that's the words. Go ahead, show it. You could show it. If you have children, cover their eyes right now.
Not that chart. There's a link on there, Chad, where it says the code, next paragraph down, right there.
Okay, everybody close your eyes.
F word is more than double the S word, which is about equal to the A word, which is a little over the B word, which is a little over the N word. Now, they include hell as a bad word. I would not.
But hell beats whore.
And I think that Dick Costolo would not like the fact that his name is considered a curse word.
Dick Costolo is in there?
Dick Costolo is a curse, yes. You Costolo, you.
You Costolo.
What's this?
That's a good list. Just give me that list. I don't care about the graph.
What's P-U-T-A?
Puta. That means, you don't know that? You don't speak Spanish.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Damn.
A prostitute. Oh, come on, damn. A woman of the evening. Or man of the evening.
Oh, really?
Depending on the evening.
Tomato, you'd say in Italian.
A tomato.
Tomato.
They say it in English? Or they say the word?
Well, yeah.
It's a pomodoro.
Yeah, I guess.
Hey, pomodoro. Quasi, così, pomodoro. Anyway, that's a good number.
That's a good number. That one wins.
Excellent number. You.
Washington Post.
So I just got this in the mail. I got a couple of things to show you. One is this. A lot of people have been asking me about Republic Wireless. This is an interesting play. They offer Moto X phones. It's the only phone they offer, but that's actually a pretty good phone, if you ask me. And what they've done is they've integrated Wi-Fi calling into the phone app in such a way that when you're in a Wi-Fi area, as I am, it'll make a Wi-Fi call, and then it'll use cell if you're outside of the Wi-Fi area. And by doing so, they have very affordable plans. If you don't need the cell coverage at all, which they get from Sprint, by the way, it's $5 a month. And the phone, I should check. I mean, the prices go up and down all the time, but sometimes it's as little as free. They have a $10 monthly plan that includes unlimited cell talk and text, but no data. For $25 a month, you get unlimited 3G data. For $40 a month, unlimited 4G data, and you always get unlimited Wi-Fi talk. So this is a really interesting idea for affordable plans. Now, I just got this today, so I haven't had a chance to use it, but it is a stock Moto X. They only have black and white, alas. But I think this is a really interesting idea, And I'd sure like to see this take off, this do well. Right now, $200, and I think this is unlocked, $299 unlocked. So I shall let you know, but an interesting play. And then I'm also going to be reviewing this. This is a new Sony Xperia, an Android phone for T-Mobile only. It has a 20-megapixel camera with a Sony processing. It's the Xperia.
Is that the one that has the – no, they don't have a
Z1S.
Play edition. No.
No, wouldn't that be nice?
The big one has a play edition.
But I shall give you a review. It does have the Sony interface, which is not a bad – you know, it's a pretty straightforward interface. And then my app of the week is WhatsApp. Have you heard of it? we thank you, everybody, for joining us today for This Week in Google. Gina Trapani, lifehacker.com, and also ThinkUp. Let me just go to Leo Laporte. I love ThinkUp. ThinkUp does a statistical analysis on your Twitter and Facebook feed and tells you what you're thinking.
I checked mine before the show, and next week it'll tell me how many times I use the F word, I'm sure.
84. Yeah, really.
I'm already talking about it in Slack with my coworkers.
94 people retweeted me today. That's a new 7-day record. I am apparently on a list called Useful S Word. That's good.
where our code is open source, but we're also trying to sort of open source our business model and the way that the company works. So today on our blog, my co-founder and CEO posted our investor update. We send an update to our investors every month. And so we were like, well, you know, our users are investors, particularly our crowdfunding backers. So we posted the full, I mean, it's everything. It actually kind of made me uncomfortable. I thought this would make Jeff proud. There's no really nothing too private here, but just the full Monty of, you know, everything that's gone well and everything that hasn't gone so well and what we're working on. So, you know, if you're interested in what a tiny little company in New York City, its everyday looks like, you can check out the post, and we're working on launching sign up soon.
That's really great. Think up soon for everyone. ThinkUp.com. And by the way, I am currently 1,065 followers away from 500,000. So that'll be a nice.
Wow. Very nice.
That'll be a nice round odometer number. I love ThinkUp. Really nice.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm so glad to hear that. That's a rare insight. I'm glad that they gave you the hey, you got an upcoming milestone.
You got a big milestone coming. Yes, sirree. ThinkUp. Yeah. Everybody should take a look at it, and soon you'll be able to get it.
Yeah.
ThinkUp.com. Jeff Jarvis's latest book is Public Parts, Life in Public, and Why It's a Good Thing. He's also lives that life in public at BuzzMachine.com, teaches journalism at the City University of New York, and is always a welcome voice here on This Week in Google. Thanks to both of you for another great show. We'll see Gina back again next week on Tuesday for All About Android, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week on This Week in Google.